Good morning, everyone. Continuing our new series, going through each of the lessons and merging with Shiva, choosing the oldest talks first, commenting on them, and we're interspersing some stories from Guru Chronicles that relate to that time period. We are back in 1957 here. Settling in San Francisco. For a short time after leaving Phoenix, Gurudeva taught yoga classes to students in Los Angeles. But soon he moved to San Francisco. He held the first applied yoga class in a small Bush Street apartment in downtown San Francisco. A few stories above the clatter of a noisy street, the first few eager students began the study of themselves and awakened a new world of inner awareness. He gave a talk at a small spiritualist church in the city to a group of elderly people, many of them women. In those days, yoga teachers were rare. Can you imagine that? the time in the U.S. when yoga teachers were rare. In those days, yoga teachers were rare, and the subject was practically unknown. Theosophy was the fad of the day, and the healing work of Christian Science was in the ascendancy. On January 5, 1957, the occasion of his Jayanti, they asked him sincerely when he would begin to teach them. "Right now," he replied. That's Gurudeva. Everything's done right now. So that's when he was 30 years old, which was his plan. He explained he would work with them for a few months and see how they did. If all went well, if they practiced and benefited, he would continue. The average age of that first group of students was 50. For the most part, they were interested in psychism or spiritualism. Some had spirit guides and were interested in communication with the dead and other such phenomena. They were eager to know about healing with the mind, psychometry, alchemy, and seeing auras. These areas, which he had been studying and experiencing his whole life, became the topics of many of his talks. He also spoke on the cognizant ability aphorisms, taught the basics of concentration and meditation, color psychology, breathing, and the five states of mind, and gave instruction in hatha yoga and dance. His emphasis was always on self-realization and the possibility of man's awakening his own superconscious state of mind. Of course, the term superconscious was practically unheard of in those days. In April, Gurudeva gave his blessings for a permanent center. The Sutter Street Temple was opened that month with Sri Arumugam, then Ceylon's Minister of Agriculture, attending as the guest of honor. Then we have Gurudeva's statement. "As a guru, I started with the basic philosophy of all gurus. To do nothing is the greatest thing on earth. Simply responding to the needs of the students. I founded a temple as it was needed at that time to harness the religious forces of those who were unfolding. Students were enthused and supported the temple. Later on, they asked for written materials such as a course of weekly lessons of my inspired talks and teachings, neatly arranged for those who couldn't attend the temple. I also responded to the needs of those who wished to be monastics and founded a monastic order. The monastics printed the lessons which today are the master course." End of Gurudeva's statement. This morning we're starting a new chapter, which is Life, the Great Experience. Chapter 14 of Merging with Shiva, and it's, as I mentioned, an inspired talk given in 1957 at the Sutter Street Temple. Then we have a comment from Gurudeva on those early years. "During these early years, I gave forth much of the teaching that's in Merging with Shiva. Life to great experience. Love is the sum of the law, the power of affirmation, and the river of life. All those talks that some of you have heard for many, many, many years started at that time. And we get Monday, lesson 92. From Life to Great Experience, establish basic principles. What I found in going through this is Gurudev is making so many wonderful points to comment on. If I read the whole lesson and then tried to comment, I'd have to read the lesson again almost. So just taking a few sentences at a time and then commenting on them to avoid that. Text. At one time or another in life, each of us has had similar experiences of temptation. Those were times when we went against what we knew to be the better action, did things we knew we would be sorry for later. Comment. Of course, the reason that we went against what we knew was the better action is that we have an instinctive mind that we don't always control. A simple way to understand what are the major instinctive impulses is to look at the list of 10 yamas, the ethical restraints, and reword each into its impulse. For example, the first is non-injury, which means the impulse to control is injuring others. Continuing, we have the instinctive impulses of lying, stealing, sexual impurity, impatience, lack of steadfastness, lack of compassion, dishonesty, gluttony, and impurity. Text. We knew because the actual knowing of the consequences of our actions or inactions is resident within us. Even the demons of ancient scripture are actually within us, for that is the lower instinctive nature, to which power is given when we go against what we know to be the best for us. Comment. Knowing the consequences of our actions comes from our soul nature. And as was mentioned, going against what we know to be best comes from not controlling our instinctive nature. Text. The souls who are the oldest and the strongest have the strongest temptations and desires. Do you often ask, why should this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? The experience was created and born of your own strength. Any lesser experience would have meant little more than nothing to you because no lesson would have been derived from it. Comment. This is a point that is a subtle one. We attract to us experiences that are strong enough to cause us to further strengthen our self-control. Comparing this to strengthening a muscle, you need to increase the amount of exercise to further strengthen it. Text. When we go to kindergarten, we are taught gently. When we go to the university, we are taught in the language of the university. The teachings only come to us from life in a way that we can best understand them, in a way that we can best call forth our inner strength. I have been in many situations and expected people to meet certain standards, but I have discovered that there are many basic things people just don't know. So this is a comment. This is a further development of the idea of the need to face strong challenges. Text. If you check back through the pages recording various periods of your life, you will observe that knowing grew from certain experiences which you held memory of in your subconscious mind. You can also look within yourself and observe all that you do not know that you knew. For example, start with all those things you are not sure about. You must resolve all of these things through understanding before you can clear your subconscious mind. Comment. Gurudev is pointing out that we have two types of remembered experiences. The first are the ones we have understood. The second are the ones we have not fully understood. The second is the group we need to focus on to resolve. Text. When you have cleared your subconscious mind through understanding the lessons from the experiences you are still reacting to, you will unfold the inner sight of your clear white light and begin to live in your true being. Comment. We can see that the inner seeing of the clear white light is in Gurudeva's talks right from the beginning. It is not that common a goal among teachers of Hinduism. So Gurudeva is stressing seeing the inner light back in 1957. And if you look in the teachings of many teachers of Hinduism, you don't find that. So it's an interesting aspect of Gurudeva's teachings. Text, the yoga student must establish basic principles in his life. He must try very hard to do this. The knowledge of interrelated action and reaction is within the consciousness of man. To understand the deeper experiences of life, we must analyze them. We must ask ourselves, what does this experience mean? What lesson have I derived from it? Why did it happen? Oh, comment. What does this experience mean? Why did it happen? Of course, in the broadest sense, everything happens because it's our karma. But that's the simple answer. I think the more precise answer here is we've attracted it because of desires, what we're thinking about, what we're interested in, that's caused us to attract a certain experience. What lesson have I derived from it? If it's an experience that didn't work out the way you wanted it to, it's very important you derive the lesson from it. Why is that? Because if you don't, it's going to repeat itself. Life is trying to teach you something, and it's going to try and it will continue to teach you that lesson until you actually grasp it. So it's very important to understand, have an answer, what lesson have I derived from an experience when it doesn't work out the way you want it to. Text. We can only find answers to these questions when we have established a foundation of dharmic principles, which are the mental laws governing action and reaction. Below are listed 36 contemporary dharmic principles that stabilize external forces so that a contemplative life may be fully lived. When practiced unrelentingly, they bring the understanding of the external and deeper experiences of life. So then my comment is, this is an early formulation of dharmic principles, this list of 36, which I'm going to read. I think you'll find it charming. Later on, Gurudeva adopted the 10 yamas and 10 niyamas and eventually added the 365 Nandinada sutras. So 10 plus 10 plus 365 is 385. That's a lot of principles. Before I read them, though, the comment, dharmic principles that stabilize external forces so that a contemplative life may be fully lived. In other words, if we're not following dharmic principles, we're not stable enough to understand our experiences. Life is not happening in an organized enough way unless we're following dharmic principles. Simplify life and serve others. Live in spiritual company. Seek fresh air and sunshine. Drink pure water, eat simple real foods, not animal flesh. Live in harmony with nature. Consume what you genuinely need rather than desire. Revere the many forms of life. Exercise 30 minutes every day. Make peace, not noise. Make a temple of your home. Develop an art form or craft. Make your own clothing and furniture. Express joy through song and dance. Grow your own food organically. Plant 12 trees a year. purify your environment, leave beauty where you pass, realize God in this life, be one with your guru, be nonviolent in thought and action, love your fellow men, rely on the independent energy in the spine, observe the mind thinking, cultivate a contemplative nature by seeking the light, draw the lesson from each experience of life, detach awareness from its objects, identify with infinite intelligence, not body, mind, or intellect. Be aware in the eternal now, not in the past or the future. Do not take advantage of trust or abuse credit. Keep promises and confidences. Restrain and direct desire. Seek understanding through meditation. Work with a spiritual discipline. Think and speak only that which is true, kind, helpful, and necessary. Create a temple for the next generation by tithing. Have a wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.